increase our faith. Increase our faith, the apostles cried out to Jesus. Increase our faith. That sounds like a wonderful request. Say it with me. Increase our faith. Again, increase our faith. This cry comes with the very best of motives and intentions and desires. The disciples wished for more faith. A desire, a hope, and a prayer that we should all have, right? Say it with me again. Increase our faith. Jesus' answer to their request was, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree over here, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Faith the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is tiny, itsy bitsy, itty tiny, about 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. It's very small. And yet, despite the fact that it's tiny, it eventually grows into one of the largest bushes in a garden. And despite the fact that it's tiny, it's a very powerful spice. Who here doesn't like to have mustard on their hot dogs? Oh, a couple of you say you don't like to have mustard on your hot dogs. Come on. Now, when you go out to the ballpark in Arlington, do you want mustard on your hot dogs? Yes, you do.
Amen.
Amen, brothers and sisters. You want the dark mustard, not the yellow mustard. You want the nice, strong, powerful, spicy, dark, delicious mustard. It adds oomph to the food. Makes you go, wow, that was delicious. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, just an itsy-bitsy little 1 to 2 millimeters worth of faith, itsy-bitsy faith, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and go and plant yourself in the sea. And it would do it. My brothers and sisters, it's not about the size of your faith. It's not about the amount of your faith. It's not about the impressiveness of your faith. It's not about the scope of your faith. No, it's about the quality of your faith. And it's about the focus. The focus of your faith. The quality of your faith and the focus of your faith. Not the amount, but the quality and the focus. Now, let's have a moment of review. Talked about faith many times here. The Greek word and the noun involved here in this passage from Luke chapter 17. The noun involved is the Greek word pistis. It's a noun. It is the substance of faith. The thing that faith is. It is produced by the verb pistuo. I faith. And when you faith or say I faith, it produces pistis. The substance of faith. The trust that is faith, the hope that is faith, the belief that is faith, the result of the action is pistis. It is faith. In this case, it probably is better to translate pistis here as not just belief, but confident belief. Confident belief. Belief that is not just present, but is confidence. Confidential, yes, but confident belief. If you had faith like this, the size, just the size of a mustard seed, doesn't have to be thickly slathered on the hot dog, just the size of a mustard seed. You had faith just like that. You could say to that mulberry tree, get up and go over and plant yourself in the sea, and it would obey you. True faith, the smallest measure of faith, if it's true, can do that, can work miracles. I'm reminded of the commercial The rich guy is sitting in his Rolls Royce. And he's in the back seat, of course, because he's got a driver, Jenkins, and he's sitting there in his Rolls Royce getting ready to make his sandwich, and he discovers there's no mustard left in the jar. And they pull up to a stoplight. And he rolls down the window, and next to him is this another Rolls Royce with another rich guy in it. He knocks on the window, the window rolls down. He says, "Pardon me, do you have any Grey Poupon?" And the other guy says, "But of course." And he hands across a little jar of Grey Poupon. It's not the yellow mustard. It's not even the brown mustard. It's the creamy, rich, strong, wonderful, horseradishy kind of wonderful mustard. The kind of mustard that goes great on a turkey sandwich the day after Thanksgiving. Mwah! Yeah. That kind of mustard, friend, that is quality mustard. That's special mustard. That's powerful mustard. It's the kind of mustard that you just got to knock on that window and ask the guy on the Rolls Royce, "Do you have any Grey Poupon?" My friends, that's the kind of mustard that we should have as faith. High quality faith. Doesn't need to be a lot. If you ever put Grey Poupon on your sandwich, you know, that stuff's strong. You put too much on, you can't taste anything else. Put on some turkey, put on some ham, put on a couple of slices of bacon, with some lettuce and some cheese and some onion, and you put a little mayo on one side and Grey Poupon on the other. If you put too much Grey Poupon, you can't taste anything else. It's so strong in tiny amounts. Likewise, with faith, all you need is a little bit. All you need is just a bit. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Just one little 1 to 2 millimeter gram. Bit. Tiny bit. And if you got faith like that, you can tell a tree to get up and go and move into the sea and it'll do it. You can work miracles. God moves in and starts acting when you have faith of that quality. And you can only have faith of that quality. You can only have faith that works miracles. You can only have faith like that if it's focused. And if it's focused on Jesus. That needs an amen, by the way. Let's try that again. You can only have high quality faith, the highest quality, the faith that results in that little bit of mustard seed type faith that can cause a tree to move, only that kind of miraculous faith if it's focused on Jesus. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, that's the meaning of the story that then follows. Jesus says, "Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Don't forget the Grey Poupon. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Ew. Now, I don't like that very much. Worthless slaves? I don't want to be a worthless slave. Or do I? Because, you see, the master isn't some guy. The master's not Caleb. The master's not Melba. The master's not Charlie. The master's not Tom. The master's not Jim. The master is not Elsie. The master's not Jeff. The master is Jesus. The Master is God. The Master is the creator of the universe. The Master is the Son of God, the Word of God incarnate in human flesh. The Master is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came into this world, who lived with us, who taught us, who died for us, who was raised for us, who is here now by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Master is God. And I want to be a servant, a slave of God. And when we are a servant, a slave of God, and when we do what God says, when we obey God and do what God has called us to do and obey the Word of God and follow the life that God has for us, when we act in faith with our faith focused in on Jesus and on the Word of God, my friends, it can be just a tiny bitty, little itsy-bitsy bit of faith, but it'll work a miracle, friends. Doesn't take a whole lot. Doesn't take a whole lot of people either. For a little bit of faith focused on Jesus to work a miracle. We are servants of the living God. And we're called to go and to work in the field. And then to come in and set the table for the Master. For the feast. The good news is, my brothers and sisters, the graciousness of God is such that after working in the field and after setting the table, you know what our Master invites us to do? Our Master invites us to come and to sit at the table where we don't deserve to be, where we cannot possibly merit presence, where we couldn't possibly buy a ticket, where we ought to be standing away from it for its holiness and its majesty, its incredible awesomeness. We are invited to come and approach the table and feast with the Master. Feast with the Master at the feast. At the banquet of God. We are called to gather at the table of the Lord and partake of the riches of the grace of Christ Jesus our Lord. And in doing so, in this act of faith, where we eat and where we drink and receive into ourselves anew and afresh the powerful real presence of God, we are exercising mustard seed-sized faith. You see, I got a doctrine in it, and I can't explain it. It's a mystery. It's what the United Methodists say about Holy Communion. It's a holy mystery beyond our comprehension. And nevertheless, we know it is true that when we eat and drink at the table of the Lord with a tiny bit of focused faith on Christ, we receive into ourselves anew and afresh the almighty real presence and life-transforming grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. When we eat and drink with faith, the real presence of Jesus comes to reside within us anew, is built up anew and afresh in us. When we eat at the table of the Lord, we are nourished for life eternal, for life here and the life to come. Some people say it takes a lot of faith to believe that. No, it takes simply a high quality faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith focused on the Lord. Faith focused on His Word. Faith focused on His grace. Faith focused on His will. It takes just the tiniest bit. And you're feasting on the riches of His grace. Far more spicy and far more powerful and far more transformative and far more delicious than any hot dog with mustard or Grey Poupon you'd ever have. My sisters and brothers, I invite you, I welcome you today to come to the table of the Lord, to come and to feast on the riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come and to eat and to drink and to be filled anew with the love of God. And have sparked within you that tiny little bit of faith that while it may not be big,
is the highest quality possible. For it is faith focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word by your grace upon grace. You set me free.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.